Welcome to Why Don't We Dress for Dinner Anymore with our host, senior style icon and beauty queen, Theodora Crockman.
And my co-host, an additional beauty queen, and a natural redhead, and a documentarian.
All the things.
And a party clown.
No, just and a party clown.
Just kidding. But what would the rest of you think if all of a sudden I said, Melissa's taking up a new profession. She's going to be a party.
Just kidding about it.
No, we're not. Get the hell out of here. That's my husband.
That's
goodbye.
That's
Ken, go to the car.
Ken is our grip. He's our roadie. Love him.
He's getting us food. Okay, here we go. So anyway,
I'm the new party clown in town. Watch it, bitches.
Could you imagine? Or if we both became party clowns, we did like a show on the road.
Oh.
Why don't we dress for dinner anymore? We go with our red noses.
And we tap dance.
It would be fabulous.
It's the new set.
I think like, we would
move over Castle Core. It's Clown Core from here on out.
Speaking of Castle Core.
What's Castle Core? So Castle Core, you're frozen. It's because Ken forgot car keys.
Okay, I need to file for divorce.
No, you don't.
You're ruining my entire podcast. Will you go?
It's lovely. Stop. We love Ken.
Yeah. And then he does this. He's very Catholic. And then he slams the door. I'm no good. And he goes into full martyrdom. He goes into full blown on martyrdom. You say one thing to him and he's like, I know I'm the worst person in the world. All right. That's another issue for another day.
Okay. Well, you come from a Greek family where the volatility of conversation is necessary.
It's constant.
Yeah.
And he's been married to me for 90,000 years. You think he'd be used to it. Yeah. You know, my son calls us the Costanzas. Have you ever watched Seinfeld? Seinfeld, George's parents are constantly bickering over every single thing.
And that's you too?
That's the life of Ken and Teddy. If
you guys could.
The sun is out. No, it's not. Yes, it is. God damn you. Shut up.
And you love each other.
Tremendously. I would die without him. But he aggravates the shit out of me.
Okay, back to Castle Core.
That's enough about that.
So Pinterest noticed this trend in their data. They noticed this trend that people were moving away from minimalism.
Yes.
And into what they have deemed Castle Core, which is basically like this patina of layers of like older things looking more like a castle, bringing in like medieval looking pieces into their things. So they're.
Why do you think that they're wearing? Like I told you, I had a friend, Nikki, and her handle on Instagram is Nikki Street Style. Mm-hmm. She was at that cinema fashion show with me, and she literally had a full on arm of armor as part of her outfit. I remember when you brought up Castle Core, I'm thinking Nikki was wearing armor. So is that like a trend? Like, are women starting to wear like literal armor?
It's definitely a trend. I have been following actually for a couple of years now, a farrier who actually makes chainmail. She makes chainmail outfits. I've been following a couple jewelers who make these big clunky, like, you know, a whole finger articulated kinds of things. And I love those kinds of things, but it's now pushing into, we're tired of minimalism. We're tired of looking like everybody else. And we want to add these pieces of design from way back
now. But why do you think it's specifically this medieval look?
I feel like people are, is that people are reaching back, like minimalism, kind of Apple pushing this culture of minimalist everything. This is like really high tech.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now that AI is in the picture.
Yeah.
We are trying to remember how to be human. This is my take. This is really my take.
And so how to be human is wearing armor?
How to be human is to dress in a way or to decorate in a way that has nothing to do with the digital world. Of course, people are posting it. People are doing all these things.
Right.
But we're also hearing all of this stuff about plastics in clothes and microplastics going through the blood-brain barrier. So everyone who's making these polyester clothes or even even these pants I'm wearing. Right. Anything made of stretch, anything like all of that recycled material that anything made with plastic is getting into our drinking water.
Right.
We're ingesting it, whatever. Right. So we're moving towards these in our decorating and in our fashions. Even if we're wearing polyester, this is polyester.
Everything's polyester.
Yeah. Even if we're wearing it, we're moving more towards like the flowy sleeves and the recollection of a time before we ruined everything with petroleum products and, AI. I don't think it's ruined, but, that's the psyche. So I think there's something there about.
So you think it has to do with a couple things, environmental issues, and then also just this computer digitalized kind of world that we live in where, like you said, we need to remind ourselves that we are not AI emojicons or whatever, but we are actually living, breathing human beings who can style ourselves. We don't need AI or somebody else to do that.
Yeah. And then I think there's another piece of it, this more political piece where we keep on talking about oligarchs and we're talking about how we're the proletariat, we're the fiefdom, and here are all these like rich people who are controlling our
lives. Makes a lot of sense to me, because when you think about it, in medieval times, you had the guy, the owner of the manor, the lord of the manor, and then he would have all these indentured servants working the farmland on his property. And then they would take their cash crops and give him half or more, and they'd keep enough just to feed their family.
Right. And he would use that money to put in his storehouses and also to feed the army that protected the land.
Right.
And that was the social contract.
Right.
Now our social contract is crazy. We've broken it in 100 ways.
But do you think that we're starting to feel like we're part of the fiefdom again? That we're part of the lord of the manor. The lord of the manor is now Donald J. Trump and J.D. Vance and Elon Musk and that whole mega toxic crowd.
Well, that toxic crowd now includes not just Elon, but Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and some of the
trying to get on there. They want to have the same access like Elon.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of the richest men in our country are trying to get in on that.
Yeah.
Like, how can we become the heads of whatever this new digital kingdom is?
Right.
So I think there's a push against that.
That's interesting. Really interesting.
And then you were telling me you saw fur on the runway.
Yeah.
And you were like, I think there's also this resurgence of glamour.
Well,
so these two things are pushing together.
Yeah. Let me take one step back, because I want to keep going with your armor core or castle core for a minute.
Yeah.
In addition to Nikki, I also saw, our friend Delphine Ponkview.
Delphine is so great.
Delphine's fabulous. And I saw some pictures recently of Delphine on Instagram where she was modeling. It was a leather jacket, but it was painted like armor.
I love it.
And I thought, wow, Melissa's really onto something. Now, this is the second friend that I've seen with some kind of armor looking thing on it. And it was like this. It was really dramatic looking. It was hand painted. She may have painted it,
And
it was this leather jacket, but it was painted like armor. And I'm thinking, wow, is this some kind of like rebellion? Are people gearing up for, retaliation? Is this to show that they've got strength because people don't feel like they have any say so over their lives right now because there's so much chaos on a daily basis?
Right. I saw some guillotine jewelry come up in my feed.
Oh, my
God. So I do believe
guillotine.
I do believe that, like, we are feeling a lot. We're like, are we approaching this revolution
of
the people? Because it's certainly what also our politicians are like. Listen, we are many; they are few.
Yes.
We
have, and this is what bugs me, Melissa, is when people say, "Well, I'm not paying attention. I'm just going to live my life. There's nothing that I can do." There's always something we can do. In the 60s, it certainly worked for civil rights and women's rights. Take to the streets. We need to organize. We need to take to the streets. I'm making an appeal to all the fashion groups that we have in Chicago, Curio, Chicago Fashion Coalition, AIBI, FGI. If each of those groups could get 100 fashion creatives together, we'd have 400 people we could take to the streets, maybe in the summer when the weather's a little better. Yeah.
Look at us. We plan revolutions around the weather.
But, I mean, we have to start making statements. I see a lot of people on TV going to Republicans, in particular, town hall meetings and shouting them down and scolding them and saying, we didn't vote for Elon Musk. You're not supporting the veterans. What's going on? I mean, and these are Republicans. And of course, they're changing the dialogue around by saying they're hired Democratic actors. So on CNN yesterday, they had this man who was at a town hall in, I think it was Kansas City.
Isn't this the same kind of like, oh, Soros paid all of those people to be there?
Well, they made up the story. They made up the story. Alex Jones made up the story. This was horrific. For Sandy Hook, when the babies were all shot and mutilated, they said that those were all crisis actors, that that was not real. And he actually got sued and lost all his money and went bankrupt from that. So they're trying that same story again now with the people that are going to the town halls and railing. And they're saying, oh, no, those are just Democratic actors that they're sending in to rabble rouse. So we have to really take this seriously. I think if the fashion industry wants to be part of this, that would be great, because we have a lot at stake here with our own personal freedoms, with our freedoms with businesses that you're running, with what we have on social media. I mean, you've even seen Google capitulate now to Trump, and they've changed their map from the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. So they have literally changed the name of a body of water that has been named that for who knows how long. And just because Trump decided to call it that, they want to kowtow to him. And so they've literally changed it. They've also removed on their calendar Black History Month.
Correct.
They've Hispanic also, History Month.
They've also removed all their
Pride Month, which this is March, is Women's Month.
Women's History Month.
So even though Google has removed us from their calendar, they can't remove us. I thought it was very interesting, going back to the fashion statements. Recently at that press conference that blew up with J.D. Vance telling Zelensky, why don't you ever wear a suit? This is a man who comes from a horrifically war-torn country where people have been raped, mutilated, tortured, their homes burnt down, thousands of them killed.
They were invaded by Russia.
Invaded by Russia. And he's saying that it was Zelensky's fault that he got invaded. That's like blaming the rape victim, which Trump should be very familiar with.
So he's treating
Zelensky like he would a rape victim. Well, you know, you were too attractive, so we're just going to have you.
Well, look at how you're dressed.
Right.
That's exactly what they said.
Zelensky was dressed inappropriately.
Zelensky was dressed appropriately for what his country is going
through. Well, he wears military gear, and he is supporting his troops, just like Winston Churchill did during World War II. How come nobody questioned Winston Churchill's wardrobe? Like, he's going to come dressed in a tuxedo while his people are dying.
Oh, right. And that's the thing. And I just have to point out how, like, absolutely, if it's a narcissistic profile with you don't respect me enough, you're not grateful enough.
Grateful, bow down, grateful.
If you would grovel,
then I will give you what you need. Maybe.
If you will just give up the things that you are fighting for, then we will help
your land.
We will help you get conquered by Russia. Yeah. But if you don't give them up, then we will not help you get conquered by Russia.
Right.
Because our support is really integral. And I don't know if Europe is going to be able to step up.
Well, they are. Europe is stepping up. But
and we're getting off topic, but Elon Musk's Starlink, he put that there so Ukraine could use it. And they've been using it for all of their drones things.
Right.
And now he's like, oh, I'm going to take away Starlink.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, how long has he been planning this?
For a long time.
You know what, guys? Who's got the technology? Just take your technology where you vaporize a couple people from space. I've got a list. I know where they live. They all run our government. Please do it from a Starlink. Vaporize
these assholes.
Yes, just do it using Starlink, because that would be ironic and lovely to me. Yeah.
It's a very unnerving time, I think, for everybody.
And that's why we're wearing armor, because it's just
right
too
protection.
It's just
think about it. Armor is protection. It's too much. We're all feeling like we have all this crap coming at us that we didn't ask for. He's punishing our biggest trade partners, who are Canada and Mexico, by slapping tariffs on them. And supposedly it's because of the fentanyl, which 1% of fentanyl that comes into the United States comes from Canada. So I'm not sure why he's punishing Canada. Canada is ripping all of the American bourbon off their shelves, which they used to love. So the bourbon industry in Kentucky, you're going to go right down the toilet. Thanks to Donald Trump, who you elected. Kentucky, listen to me, Kentucky, you will go broke under Trump. Don't wait for that to happen. I'm telling you, this is very, very serious.
I have family who voted for Trump, and they do not believe so. They are still.
Well, they'll see it when their pocket hits their pocketbooks.
And it may never, because they are not an affected group.
Well, so, you know, if you're talking about millionaires, you know, I don't have any pity for them.
Oh, one more political thing, and then let's move back to fashion.
Yeah.
One more thing. I've been thinking about this so much. Our country was founded by rich white men who were the minority, who didn't want to be taxed anymore.
Right. Taxation without representation.
That's who founded it. Rich white men who did not want to get taxed. They were the minority. And the minority, the majority, the poor people and the disenfranchised, for 200 years have been slowly pushing that, so that the representation is of the actual populace of the United States. And I want everyone to think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, so Donald Trump is, and his oligarch friends, are moving us back towards no taxation without representation for the minority, who are the rich,
right?
Which is what the country was founded on, rich white men.
Exactly. And they keep it that way, status quo.
But note, we pushed it back before so that we all had rights.
Right. And we can do it again.
And we will do it again.
Yeah.
So it did take 200-ish years. I mean, when did women finally get to use that, like sign up for a credit card by themselves? 1970s when I was born?
Yeah, and that's weird. Of course, I was very young in the 70s. I was like 18, 19 when I first started working. Because I remember I did have my own credit card from Marshall Fields, but I think I was probably about 23 at that time. So that means that was probably around 1977 that I got my first credit card. And I probably never applied for a credit card before that. Right. So I wasn't even aware that women couldn't get credit cards.
You couldn't get credit or a bank account without your dad or your husband signing.
Isn't that amazing? Think about that.
That was in my lifetime.
Women could not get credit cards on their own. They had to have either a father or a spouse, the husband, or some male co-sign for them, because they didn't trust that women couldn't pay off the credit cards.
Now our country is being run by a bunch of rich white men who are mad that we want them to pay taxes to support the populace, which is the social contract that we have constructed.
Right.
And they are trying to tear that down and remake the world in their image, so they reap the reward. So that's happening. And I think that we wearing our Castle Core armor will eventually pull it back. But I think there is some irreparable damage.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, in theory, like the idea of more manufacturing happening here, I'm all for that. But the way it's being done very quickly and terribly is awful.
He's accusing Canada and Mexico of stealing all of our factories and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, that's globalization, and they did that.
We are a world society.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, in our own little spaces anymore. And that's exactly what Trump wants us to do. He wants to isolate us. He's isolating us from Europe. He's isolating us from our northern and southern borders, Canada and Mexico. So he wants to isolate the United States. And in his pea brain, he thinks that's a good thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. You just can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. We know how it works.
Well, we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, but you can throw the old tube away and get a new one.
Oh, nice. That's what we want. Again, Starlink, lasers, vaporization. It's a good idea. Guys, I'm in Mensa. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, she's in Mensa.
Genius brain. Genius brain.
Yeah.
So You were telling, when we were talking about Castlecore on the phone, you were telling me that, oh, there was fur on the runways and all this glamour is coming. And I was trying to be like, well, why is that smooshing together? And you had a, like a great idea about that.
Well, from what I'm hearing, you know, because we just went through all the fashion week. So we had New York Fashion Week. We had Paris Fashion Week. We had Milan Fashion Week.
We had Chicago Fashion Week, which is what totally
not in February.
I know. Well, we had to do a weigh in October so that they would have time to make new shit.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Telling yourself it. But anyway, one of the big trends that they saw that I was very surprised about was fur has made a comeback on the runways.
Mm.
Now, according to the New York Times, the fur that was shown at, I think it was Fendi. Let me make sure. Did I write it down? Yes, it was Fendi, because Fendi was actually a furrier, started out as a furrier and a luggage maker.
Yeah, they're doing a callback.
They had a lot of fur on the runway, but they were prefacing it that it was shearling. And they're not counting shearling as fur, like
because
if you want in coat or whatever. It's more of a byproduct.
You're not killing an animal. You're just
using a byproduct.
Removing a
the skin and the little bit of, you know, shaved off fur that they have on there. And they also had a lot of faux furs too, which is interesting because I haven't had a faux fur or any of that kind of stuff for years. And all of a sudden this year, I gravitated towards a silly little leopard, like chubby faux fur coat. And I recently bought a black faux fur shrug to wear. And I thought, when I saw that in the New York Times about the emergence of fur, I thought, wow, I just kind of went into that naturally. It was kind of a natural flow because I think that people are like back in the 30s. It was a very difficult time in the United States. There was a depression going on. Germany and Europe were in chaos. We were debating whether we should get involved in the war. It was a basically horrible time to live. But the one thing that people clung to was the fantasy of glamour.
That's right.
The fantasy of beauty. And so that's the emergence of the glamour and beauty of the movies in the 30s and the 40s with the satin bias cut dresses and the glamorous hairdos and the glamorous movie stars. And I think we're in that kind of a dangerous period now.
Absolutely.
Where the whole world order is being upset. And so what's one of the things that people can turn to is fashion to make themselves feel better and to express the way they feel. So therefore, we were talking about Castlecore as an expression of that. And I think the return to glamour and luxury designs, luxury styles are now coming back as
luxury
well.
Luxury that looks luxurious, not...
Right. And we're not hiding it. It's not minimal, quiet luxury that we have for a long time. I don't even know what that meant.
For minimalism. Yeah. Quiet luxury is a $200.
So I think... if this continues and people start dressing up, Melissa, we might need to have a contest for a new name for our podcast.
We'll see.
Because if people start dressing up for dinner, then I guess we've accomplished our goal.
If it gets as bad as the depression, it's not going to be, why don't we dress for dinner anymore? It's like, why don't we go to dinner anymore?
Or why can't we afford to go to dinner anymore?
Because it's $60 a person now.
That's for a fast food place.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's for a fast food place.
It's ridiculous. You know, and that's the price you pay.
So hopefully we're seeing a reemergence of luxury fabrics, luxury fashion. People will start to pay more attention to the way they look. Even if they can't afford, you know, $1,000 outfits, you can always, I'm wearing a vintage piece here that looks very sharp. You know, it was probably made, my guess is, in the 40s or 50s. So you could do vintage and make yourself all glam. You know, it's not like you need to buy 1,000 new things, but there are ways to make yourself look and feel better. And I think that's what we all need right now, is to take an entire breath. Everyone just take one big breath, blow it out, and think about something that makes you happy. Because if we're depressed and if we're anxious, it will paralyze us and we won't be able to respond. Mm-hmm. And we need to be ready to respond at any given time. So let's all try to get ourselves to a place. I know it's very hard. Remove yourself from social media if you have to some of the time. Remove yourself from the constant 24-hour news cycle. Don't make yourself unaware of what's happening, but it's not like you need to have it constantly pounded in your brain. Right. Because I think for our mental health and for our own well-being, we all need to think now what we want our futures to look like, focus on that, and be goal-driven towards that. Meaning, we may need to take to the streets. Everybody should contact their senators. I don't care if they're Democrats or Republicans. They will listen to you and say, we need you to do more. We need this to stop. What are you doing? You need to tell us what you're doing to stop this craziness. Because there are people that are losing their jobs for no reason at all. Then these idiots realize, oh, wait a minute, we needed those people. And they're trying to contact them, but they don't have their email. They don't have their addresses.
And this is me laughing. And, you know, you were talking about how, I think it was another podcast, you were talking about how sometimes you have to have this dark humor mm-hmm. when you work with dark things. Mm-hmm. And I am laughing about them not being able to get NASA scientists back that work on nuclear codes.
Yes.
Because there's nothing else I can do. And it's hysterical yeah. because it's so scary.
It's very scary. It's very scary. But like you said, Melissa, if we don't laugh a little bit, we'll all be driven right. out of our minds, because this is a lot to take in. And it's on a daily basis.
It's on a daily basis.
You know, it's yeah. not like this is happening once a month, but it's every day. This is being chopped. Yeah. That's being cut.
You know what I started doing is I started not looking at my phone in the morning. I just yeah. have this mantra. I was like, don't let anyone yeah. else think your thoughts for you.
Right.
And I wake up in the morning yeah. and I, you know, write in my journal. It's a bunch of garbage because yeah. it's just like defragmenting
yeah.
my head. And then I do the same thing in the evening. I, you know, at 7 o'clock, I'm like, okay, no more. Yeah. news media, no more right. people's opinions about it
right.
because I want to be able to
sleep.
And dream and yes. like dream up something new. And yeah. the day is a free for all, but I'm busy.
Yeah.
Even as an unemployed MBA student,
right.
I'm busy.
Right. We all have busy lives. We all have things we have to do. We all have obligations.
Right.
So that kind of keeps your mind focused on that.
Right. But I'm trying to create capacity
yeah.
to be able to act.
Yes, absolutely. We cannot get to the place where we think there's nothing we can do. If we get to that place, we will be Germany in 1930. That will be it. We will be Germany in 1930. And look at how long it took for them to crawl out of that monster of a regime.
And look at them crawling back in.
Sorry. My father, and I want to say this, my father was in World War II. He was a young man. He was only 19 years old. From the age of 19 to 21, I believe he was at the last 2 years of World War II. My father was shot in the leg. My father grabbed a grenade from the ground that was live, grabbed it, threw it back at the opposing Germans or whoever the heck it was that threw it, saved his entire platoon. And he was also at the liberation of several of the concentration camps. And I will tell you, that stayed with him all of his life.
I'm sure.
He had pictures and we can't find them. And I wish we could, because we would. We would give them to the Holocaust Museum. My father had pictures when he went and his whole platoon went to liberate concentration camps of people that were in the concentration camps that looked like human skeletons.
I can't.
So we need to remember what happened in World War II and to think that that can't happen again. Don't fool yourselves, because it can. Now, the only thing we want to say is, we don't want to end on a dark note. So take the deep breath. Think of the wonderful things that you can wear. Also think of the actions that you could take. Contact your congressmen and your senators. And we will grab our country back from this lunatic. And that's all I have to say today.
Armor up, y'all. The fight's long. And we have such a lighthearted question, which is, Teddy, why don't we dress for dinner anymore?
Because we're depressed from Donald Trump. That's why.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to let him keep me down. I'm going to dress for dinner. I'm going to make plans with my husband and I'm going to get all dressed up for dinner. I'm not going to let that bastard bring me down.
Hear, hear. Because Ken is the love of your life.
He is.
All right. Bye.